Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show 22. I apologize for the missing show last week. I was traveling and scheduling conflicts just didn't work out. So we're back this week though, and we have Toby Vandeveld as our guest talking about his digital infrared pinhole photography he's been doing and some cyanotypes.
Hi Corey and Andrew, it's Steve here from down in New Zealand. I'm just really calling to say thank you to Andrew. He did a run of prints onto postcard stock that he sent out, and he sent me one. And it was fantastic getting it. I've been meaning to call in and say thanks for a couple of weeks, and I haven't had time, but I've done it now, so I feel a lot happier. Thanks, guys. I really enjoy the show. You've had some really great topics on lately, and it's great to hear. Thank you. Can't wait for the next one.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 22. Last week we didn't get a show up despite our best efforts to coordinate everything. I was traveling and it didn't work out too well. We recorded the show with Todd earlier in the week before I left before my vacation. So sorry we missed the show last week. But we're back. Yeah, I take full responsibility. It was all me, so
I don't think you've apologized enough, quite frankly.
I'm
sorry. Can I just apologize on the Lenses podcast behalf?
Who is that talking?
It's Toby V Photo.
Hello, Toby.
Photo.
Hello.
And you all know Andrew, of course.
Well,
boy,
you see,
boy snapper.
If you allowed me to just access the podcast with the password, I could have put the show out perfectly fine. I'd have found someone to chat to, and you know, instead of just leaving all our listeners on tenterhooks.
Yeah, sorry everybody.
Well, I just got on with making pinhole pictures.
Did you? Well, we'd lined up Steve and Ray, and
yeah,
that would have been fun.
Get him on next week.
Well, I think he's on that other podcast with the Gutterman boys.
Andre?
Yeah, I think so.
Andre's podcast?
Andre's he's a bit fickle, isn't he?
No, he's going on Andre Dominguez's podcast. Yeah. So he'll be good value, I'm sure. In fact, I think Stephen, he does pinhole photography, but I think it's a bit of a sideline for him, isn't it? He has that zero camera. All the church bells have started ringing now in the village. If you can hear anything in the background, it's bells.
Ding-a-ling.
That's not your dinner bells ringing?
No, I do have a vegetable curry waiting for me.
With chickpeas.
As I was leaving the boat to come and record this, Melanie and Kitty were just tucking into Linda McCartney's sausages with baked beans.
Mm. Yeah, well,
Mine'll be cold by the time I get back to that.
Mine too. My daughter's home from university. She's been home all summer, and she's turned into a vegetarian while she's been a student.
Oh, good on her.
So she
Next
comes
step
home
vegan.
Now. Oh, please. And so I'm eating
next
more.
Thing you know,
I'm eating
she's
more
gonna be
vegetables.
Hanging out with. She'll be hanging out with Graham. Next thing you know.
Yeah, I did. I went to lunch with Graham once, and I was walking. I was forgotten he was vegetarian. And we were walking down an alleyway, and I said, "Oh, look, all day breakfast, bacon sandwiches." He went, "Yeah."
16, he went vegetarian. You know.
Did he?
That's what he told me at the 2016 meetup.
He should have grown out of it by now. That's all I'd say.
But I've been vegan for 4 years now, and really? I'm never going to grow out of that.
Don't you just fart all the time?
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't do that sort of thing.
Healthy bowel movements and things. All that greenery.
All that curry and.
It depends how much Hobgoblin I drink. Yeah, no, how much curry I eat. I've got a special deal with my local curry house. They sort us out with a non-dairy curry, at least once a week.
Nice. So Toby, what have you been up to? I noticed that you've been doing some digital pinhole work,
yes.
Cyanotype.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is not quite pinhole, but they over on Twitter, the @printpartey account, are running a Sinotype's print party at the moment, so I've been getting my hand in
Curry,
that.
Curry wouldn't know about that.
He's not a Twitter man, is he? Yes. I've got some Sinotypes that I made, and as much as the Sinotype blue is, I decided to stain them. So I bleached them with some soda crystals.
Nice.
And then I made a very thick mix of coffee. I think it was half a jar of coffee to a litre of water. And I soaked the bleached cyanotype paper in it for 4 hours.
Nice.
And it's come out very nice. A very light brown. I found when I did it with tea, it was very very brown, over brown, that the coffee is a very nice subtle tone.
So the bleaching technique, when I use photographic bleach, it's potassium pericyanide, it's photographic bleach that just very lightly attacks the highlights if you dilute it enough. So what were you using?
Soda crystals, just as you get in the cleaning department of your local supermarket.
And that has a... What does that do? That has an effect on the highlights, does it? Or what does it do?
It attacks where you've...
gingerly attacks.
ginger nut. The image on the cyanotype, cyanotype image on the paper, it attacks what has the image on it, and it just reduces it. It bleaches it away.
Does it? Does it bleach away the highlights and the shadows in
the shadows and the midtones as well
at the same time?
Yes, you can see all the image sort of like disappearing. So yes,
with a traditional photographic bleach, you dilute it, and then it tends to have preferential. The highlights will noticeably lighten first,
and then the shadows.
Yeah,
but I use maybe a rounded teaspoon in a liter of lukewarm water, and that within a minute or two in that solution, you can see the bleaching effect. I don't know if you can hear that. A boat's just gone past. It's got quite a puttery engine. You picking that up?
I figured was Andrew's gas problem with all that current.
The soda crystals, weak soda crystal solution has taken back the blues of the cyanotype print, you just pop it into whatever solution you're going to stain with and just leave it there.
So if you don't do the bleaching bit, does the toning just become too overpowering? The dark tones become too dark?
You know what? That's something I've never tried.
Yeah. So why are you bleaching it then, or are you just doing it because?
I've done a lot of cyanotypes over the last couple of years, and I've got a massive big wad of paper, all blue, and sometimes you just get a bit fed up with that. As much as it is a nice rich cyan blue, you just want to get a bit of a change. So
right,
I bleach and stain just to make them look
and
different.
Are you using pinhole images or are you using
I have made pinhole images into acetate negatives, and I do plan to do again in the not too distant future.
Those are going to be cool. I like to see those.
Do you remember The Lonely House?
Yeah.
Yep, that was digital pinhole image that I made two years ago.
I have a box full of overhead projector acetate that I've had for years and years and years, and I keep thinking...
Get it in your printer.
Yeah, I know. But the alternative printing that I do with using salt prints... I tend to use the 4x5 negs.
I was just about to say, you don't need to make acetate negs because you have big enough negative from your large format cameras.
Yeah, yes, I do. But some of them have to be really it's a bit more hit and miss because I've tended to expose and process those negatives for traditional printing, and sometimes for alternative printing, they really ought to be, I find with salt printing anyway, they need to be quite contrasty.
Yes.
With plenty of shadow detail.
It's definitely the contrasty negatives that work best in cyanotypes as well.
Yeah. So I'm kind of going through my sort of back catalogue of negatives because I'm too lazy to do scanning and, work out a decent scale on the printer. And so I've just been using my negatives in my records. And I've got some, it doesn't always work, but if I hit on the right negative, it's the salt printing is lovely.
Yeah, so I've looked at the salt printing kits. Are they made by the same people who do these cyanotype kits?
I don't use I don't use kits. I go down
the
road.
Oh, you buy the raw chemicals.
I do. I buy from wet plate supplies silver nitrate.
Okay.
And gold toner, which is expensive, but actually it's quite a useful step. So salt from the supermarket, but rock salt dissolved to a solution, maybe 10%, I can't remember now. And you float the paper in this salted solution for a few minutes, hang it up to dry, and then you have your solution of silver nitrate, and you just dribble a little bit into a cup or a pot in either weak tungsten light or just subdued, very
much
subdued. Not daylight. No, I tend to unscrew my orange filter from the darkroom safe light and just have the 15 watt tungsten light so I can see what I'm doing. And then I just add a little bit of citric acid. I can't quite remember now. That acts to stabilize and preserve the silver nitrate. And then with one of those Japanese brushes, but you can use a paintbrush, I just brush the silver nitrate solution onto the salted paper, leave that to dry, and then you're ready to go. So I put it in a printing frame, an old antique one that I've got, under a UV light that I bought, and typically I'm looking at exposures of about 45 minutes, I think. And then I take that negative and wash it in slightly salty water for 5 minutes. I then put it in a gold toner, and that helps to stabilize the image. And when you put it into the fixer, which is the next step, it doesn't fade as much. If you miss out the gold toner, the image becomes less stable, and it can fade when you put it in the fixer. So I use plain hypo crystal fixer, and then I wash it with a wash aid to get rid of the hypo clear and wash.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it's good. But the gold toner is expensive and the silver nitrate is expensive. But once you've bought it, it lasts forever because you only use
a fraction of the amount.
Yeah. I mean, I bought all this stuff last October, November, and I've done loads of prints, and I've barely used anything, you know. Yeah. But wet plate.
Cool.
But I think probably the kit is the first, to try it, you know, the kit's the first place to go. But wet plate supplies.
Okay. I'm running out of my cyanotype chemicals, and I had the kit to restock. I went to Parallax and the photo co-op, and I bought the dry chemicals into resealable foil packets.
Oh, they stock them, do they?
They do, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They do quite a few kits, and they also do the raw chemicals for cyanotypes as well.
Okay.
So that's what I've got. I haven't opened the packet yet.
I like the blue colour of cyanotypes. I like, but I've dabbled a little bit, but I jumped into salt printing, and so that's the rabbit hole that I'm going down at the moment.
Well, the rabbit hole for me, beyond just getting the blue cyanotypes, is to be experimenting with bleaching and staining.
Yep.
I think my next colour is I'm going to liquidise a load of beetroot.
Hmm.
And have a go at BS. Have a go at getting some purple staining.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I'm the lone wolf here because I'm still just stuck on pinhole. I haven't even gotten to do anything else.
But you shoot the large-format pinhole, don't you, Corey?
A little bit.
You could contact print those large-format legs straight onto salt print or cyanotype.
Yeah, I haven't got.
You just need to make sure they've got, as Andrew said, a nice hard, contrasty feel to them.
I don't know. I haven't really had any, I don't know, desire to get into doing cyanotypes and everything else, salt prints, whatnot. I'm happy to just have an enlarger now, so that I can just get back to just making straight, you know, silver gelatin prints. So
that was a very lucky gifting. That was,
yeah. My wife's uncle was an art teacher, and he bought his wife bought that larger for him in like 1978 or something.
Really,
and I don't think he ever even used it. I think he said he took the lens off of it or something. I can't remember what he did with it, but it was still in the box, you know, and he's like, take it, get it out of my garage. I was like, okay.
When he took the lens out, was he going to try and sell it to Nick and Graham over at the Homemade Camera Podcast?
Possibly.
Yes, I'd forgotten you picked that up on your travels, didn't you? So
yeah,
tell us a little bit about your time away from us.
I did a lot of traveling, man. I ended up driving, I don't know, almost 3,000 miles in 2 weeks. I did a lot of driving. We went to Niagara
Falls. Have you checked your tire on your car? Have you checked your tires? Because that sounds like you're going to be wearing the tread down with that sort of mileage.
Luckily, we have a big, giant, like an 8-person Ford van, you know, like a passenger van. So the tires on that thing are pretty tough. So I think I'm good. But I got my oil change before I left. And normally my oil change will last me 3 or 4 months. And I drove in a week and a half, in 2 weeks. I have to, as according to my mileage, I should go get my oil changed again.
Blimey.
So we went from North Carolina all the way up to Pennsylvania. We went to Niagara Falls and did some pinhole at Niagara Falls.
What pinhole cameras did you take with you?
I only brought a couple, actually. I brought the 4x5 box turtle from Todd, my Reality So Subtle 6x6 F with infrared in it, and I only ended up shooting just 2 frames off of a roll.
What a waste.
And then I had a regular 6x6 that I carried with me, you know, and shot with more. Well, there wasn't really any sun. I mean, it was like, it was in and out. It would be sunny. It'd be sunny, and I would be like, oh, I'd go in to get it or whatever and come back out, and it'd be cloudy again. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure it's probably like what you guys are used to.
To English weather.
Yeah.
Well, do you know, I bought I finally got a good deal on a R72 infrared, you know, one of those real dark filters, 52 millimeter thread.
That's the one I use.
Yeah,
same filter.
I just haven't got a camera to screw it into.
Get a stepping ring.
No.
Why don't you tape it to the inside of your camera?
When I get my
Reality So Subtle 6x6F back,
there you go.
Of course it'll screw onto there. And it's also the same screw fitting as my Nikon F lenses, so
perfect.
The lenses I use, so I can use it in there. I do have a roll, a 35mm roll of Kodak HIE.
I've got a couple of rolls of that.
But then I'm going to go and buy some 120 rolly stuff when I get my pinhole. Oh, there are those dogs.
Would you believe?
Unless it's a child. It's not a child, is it?
No, it's Obi, actually, the aforementioned Obi. Kitty's taken their porthole glass out of her porthole, and I've come outside to get away from them, and he's sticking his head and shoulders out of the porthole, barking.
Trying to get you.
That'd be a great
not
photo.
Me, no. There's a photograph. It's not a photograph. There's a couple of blokes walking their dog down the opposite side of the canal, and he's barking at them, or their dog. No, he's gone back in now.
Yeah, Niagara Falls is pretty cool. I have never been there before. It was really loud.
Did you get any good long exposures and lots of water movement as they came over the falls?
No, I didn't, because we didn't go to the Canadian side.
Okay.
We were only on the US side. And you aren't really like, you're kind of like level with it. You know, like you can look kind of at an angle to your left or to your right, and you can look across the falls. You know what I mean?
But you're not at the bottom.
Yeah, you're not really at the bottom or on the other side. So you're really only kind of like looking at the top of the falls, and then just as it, you know, looking at it, like if you were coming down the river almost, then it just drops off. You know, you never really get like a face shot of it close enough that would have worked for how I would want it to look anyways. You know what I mean? So
that's a shame.
I got a bunch of other shots because there's rails all the way around, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty fast exposures, as fast as I can open and, you know, move my finger over the shutter to open it.
Is that with your Delta 100 still?
No, that was, I was using Acros with that.
Mm-hmm. But still
shooting it.
100 exposure film.
Yeah, still 100. I flip-flop back and forth between the two. If I'm going somewhere and I know I'm going to be doing long exposures, I'll bring the food. I'll put the Fuji in, you know, and just shoot it. And if I'm just going to be outside and know that it won't be long exposures, I'll use the Delta. You know what I mean? I kind of just try to think ahead with a little bit, but
do you? You think ahead?
I try. This is just a small amount, and it's kind of weird being around there. I didn't do a whole lot of shots where I was leaving my camera alone and walking away from it because my little black reality camera is kind of, kind of inconspicuous looking as far as just having it sitting somewhere. It looks an awful lot like, you know, a bomb. And there's security guys walking around, you know, out there. And so they kind of were just, I don't know. I just kept it close to me. You know what I mean? I didn't want to leave it somewhere sitting for.
I saw you wedging your reality. I think it was your reality camera, somewhere near a swimming pool between two stools. Or was that on your trip, or was that since you've been back?
No, that was on the trip. That was the last night we stayed at the hotel for my wife's mother's side of the family. They had a family reunion, so that was what we went up there for. We went up a week and a half before and stayed with my wife's cousins in Erie. Then we drove down to where the family reunion was, and that was just in a pool. I didn't want to go outside and get my big tripod. I had that little tiny one that I carry with me everywhere.
Yeah,
and I was trying to figure out. I was like, I need to get my camera up a little bit. And then I saw those two stools, like side table things, you know? And I put one down and just flipped the other one on top of it.
And did you get family pinhole portraits?
I didn't get any.
Hmm.
I didn't get any.
Well, we're both very disappointed in you, quite frankly.
Well, you know, It's kind of hard to explain it to some people, you know. They stay still and they're like, okay, you know. Then they like just don't sit still, you know what I mean? Like, okay, you have to sit still for 30 seconds, you know. And it's kind of like, So I actually have a LCA 120 that I brought, and I tried to do that with a little bit, but it didn't work out too good either. So we'll see.
Well, I've not actually exposed much film, in the last week or so, but I have been developing a shed load of film from my holiday in Lake Bala, which is in Wales. And, well, I've got some lovely images, but they're all a bit kind of affected by light, don't laugh, by light diffractions and reflections, because I taped, because you told me to, Corey. I taped some yellow gel on the inside. Okay, I may have taped it in a fairly haphazard manner, and maybe it could have been flatter and closer to the pinhole, but I really didn't think it would matter. But I've got some great images, but they've got these kind of weird reflections and refractions on the film.
You should have tested it before you went on vacation.
What, rather than just leave it in place while I rattled off about six rolls of film, you mean? Yeah.
That's a far better idea, actually.
Mm. So I'm going to just claim it was intentional artistic endeavor on my part to have all these black bits all over the image. But they'll be fine. They look good. I think I've got some good images. I'll be scanning them soon. And my other trials and tribulations with pinhole cameras is my... I've been in touch with James of Reality, because my 6x12 camera is the first five frames. No, how many frames do you get? Six, is it? The first two or three frames are okay, but then that boy gets so stiff. You know the winding knob.
Hmm.
And is James, I'm talking really, really stiff. I mean, I'm like veins popping out of my forehead as I'm trying to wind this thing on.
Is your film getting crooked on the spools? Are the spools not level or something? What's going on?
No, I don't know. I've got to send it back to him. I've got it all packaged up in a big box, and I've got to send it back to France, and he's going to take a look at it for me.
Bummer.
But I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I keep double checking myself to make sure I'm loading it properly. But it's mega, mega. I thought it's been like it since I had it, and I thought it might loosen up, but it really hasn't. So, the images are fine, but I'm scared I might break the film. I'm winding it so hard.
And you don't even have another reality camera, do you?
No, not yet. No. No,
Mr.
I do have a...
Mr. Piper!
He's promised he'll send it back.
Yeah,
I think he's buying himself one.
Toby,
I do have a...
Does Neil have one of your cameras too? Toby?
We lost him, have we?
Yeah. We'll just keep going.
We'll keep going, yeah. Well, I don't know. Toby said... I think I might have confused poor old Toby on Twitter because I said... I think I might have accused him of having my other pinhole camera when I should have been accusing Neil Piper. But, you know, they're easily confused.
Let's take a quick break.
That sounds like a splendid idea, Curry.
All right, bye. All right, we are back. Andrew?
Hello, mate. I'm
How
back.
How's your break?
I'm here. Well, it was great. I had a little sleep and refilled my glass.
There's Toby.
Toby sounds like he's refilling his glass too. I thought he was in the toilet.
He's going in, not coming out. No, he's coming in, not going in.
I could hear water running or something, so he's either having a slash or he's refilling his glass. I'm not sure.
What happened? We lost you last time, Toby.
You certainly did. I was desperately trying to get in the conversation, and you just could not hear me.
Oh, well.
We were just ignoring you.
So, you've been doing some pinhole work with your digital camera, Toby. What have you? I know some people have some interest in that, so
some
listeners. So, what have you break down your setup for that? Because some of the pictures I've seen from that I really liked.
It's a very mixed bag. It's a D90, Nikon D90, and I had it converted red to 720 nanometers a second.
Right.
And I made a pinhole from a body cap, and I just whacked that on there as well, just for extra added beauty.
So when you say you had it converted, just make sure you're holding your little microphone close to your mouth, Toby. When you said you had it converted, you sort of glibly said that as though we all understood what you had to do.
I know somebody who converts cameras
right
from visible light to infrared, and it's basically taking out a factory fitted filter that blocks infrared and replacing it with a filter that blocks visible light and allows the infrared through.
So this Nikon D90 then is just tuned to the infrared spectrum, that 700 odd nanometer sort of wavelength, whatever it is.
It will never see visible light again.
So if you've got a normal digital camera, can you use those to record infrared type images, or do you have to?
Think if you get something that the aforementioned 72 IR filter, you'd be getting on that. But they are so dense that they increase your shutter speeds tenfold and more, don't they?
I was doing it a little bit with infrared with digital camera with my filter, and it was really long exposures. I mean, I was shooting it at 100 still to try and keep the noise down, you know.
Well, using a lens on my D90, I can quite happily shoot at f8 and a 200th of a second if the light is good.
Well, that's so, because you don't have to use a filter, right? I mean, you can just shoot away with it.
Yeah, because it's seeing infrared as opposed to a filter blocking visible light.
Is it?
It's just using a camera set up in daylight. As I said, 400 ISO, f8, 200th of a second, no problem.
So all the pinhole images you've been using, they're all pinhole images looking at the infrared end of the spectrum.
That's yes.
Awesome. Now, is your camera set up for, it appears to be anyways, set up for just color infrared? Because I know you can get them converted so that it's just black and white, right?
720 nanometers records color. I think if you get up to the 800 nanometer wavelength,
yeah,
and that loses color and it's just black and white.
Gotcha.
I think, but quite often my color infrared images, I desaturate and just keep them as black and white. Every now and again, I'll keep one as color because I quite like the tones. But
I thought the ones I'd seen were black and white, so I was just being quiet in case I showed my ignorance. But I'm sure I saw some. Most of the ones I thought I'd seen on, maybe it was just on Twitter, and Corey doesn't see those. They were black and white, I'm sure.
Yeah, most of them that I've done have been in black and white. But if you think on Instagram, there's a couple of color ones have slipped through.
Okay.
I like them. I've seen them. The ones that you put on Instagram, because I don't do Twitter. So the ones on Instagram, I like those. I think they look awesome.
Too many, Corey.
Do what?
How many platforms is too many?
Anything other than Instagram is too many.
Yeah. Yes, I do wonder, actually, when I'm posting on multiple platforms, how many times people need to see the same image. Three or four times.
Yeah, no, I agree. I that's kind of like why I got away from it a little bit. I was like, I just didn't want to.
I think it's okay.
Pictures. Well, I was looking at this. Everybody, I'd look at Twitter and then I'd go on Instagram and see the same pictures, you know. And then,
yeah, I don't use Twitter so much. I don't use Twitter so much for image sharing. I use it more for sort of chatter.
Have you guys heard about the new? There's a new platform coming out. They've been working on. It's called Flickr.
I've heard of Flickr.
Yeah, and I'm really going to get into Flickr.
we have a group, as I keep telling you.
I'm kind of getting ready to gear up to start getting more into doing Flickr and my website, and not so much just kind of living on Instagram, you know.
Website.
I'm trying to get away from it.
A blog post on my website, it must be a good 2 months ago. It really labours unloved at the moment.
Yeah, I've got some pinhole blogs to put out on WordPress. Like you, Toby, mine's a bit behind. You know, I've got a few series of images that I've been working on, both pinhole and non-pinhole. And I tend to put those up on the WordPress blog site. But
website's around WordPress as well.
So that's a good place to displace more thoughtful images, I find, whereas the other platforms are just shove stuff up, really.
Yeah. So, Toby, you how was your conversion? Because I remember we've been talking to you for a while about your Agfa. That camera's not an Agfa CLAC, is it? What was it?
No, it was an Agifold.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The Agifold company made the Agiflex. No, sorry. Yeah. No, the Agiflex company made the Agifold in the mid-1940s in Croydon. And the last two rolls that I processed at home, one of which was the most recent set of pictures from that camera. And and the other one was in a Voigtlander Besser I bought recently, and they're both so dense, I'm using them as a doorstop. Very little hope I'm going to get anything coherent out of them. And I'm sure, as I mentioned earlier, it's down to just handling film between camera and dev tank in not dark enough firm situation.
Well, yeah, I think Toby hasn't realised that film and paper are light sensitive.
Well, hold on.
And if you go and load them in daylight, they're going to just...
Well,
it's at 11 o'clock at the night, you know, kneeling on the floor under the bed, and it's still fogged. Well, I'm assuming that's why they've gone so solid.
Well, let's analyze it. Is it just inside the frame, or is it bleeding out into the leader all over the film?
The whole film, everything.
Oh, yeah.
You can still see an image, but you have to tilt the image, tilt the film, and you sort of see the image reflected in light coming from the side as opposed to transmitting through the film.
Wow. Okay.
They are absolutely rock heavy.
So from edge to edge,
yep.
Front to back, it's completely fogged?
It is.
Yeah, so maybe you might be right.
Yeah, an issue I can get around by buying myself a light bag.
Hmm.
That's why I've gone to using the digital pinhole recently, because I can just get on with that and it doesn't matter how dark or bright it is.
Yeah, sure.
Although one thing I have decided after the last splurge of my D90 is that pinhole is just far too big. The focal length from the sensor to the pinhole, it's only roughly 5 centimetres, 50 mil. And I don't think I've got a pin thin enough to make a hole that is going to give me something a little bit sharper.
Hmm.
I emailed James Guerin, actually. This afternoon. He suggests 0.3 or 0.2 pinhole. So I'm going to...
I'm sitting the 0.15 and a 0.3 from him. Yeah.
Well, Toby, why don't you do this too? Because I'm interested to know if this works or not. When you make a new cap for your camera, see how close you can get your pinhole to your sensor. Because a lot of the 35 millimeter pictures I see, they tend to be just like a traditional focal length, the way the image looks, you know.
Yes.
It doesn't look like pinhole, you know what I mean? Like ultra wide pinhole. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if that's just always because everyone just uses their body caps as
well. That's doing.
So if you could if you think about how thin a matchbook is, it's thinner than 5 centimeters, isn't it? It's got to be.
Yeah, it's got to be only 12 millimeters at most.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was wondering if you get your pinhole closer to the sensor, if the 35 millimeter shots will look more pinhole-y, you know what I mean?
Well, the D90 is a crop sensor, so it's not 35 mm equivalent like a full frame.
Yeah, right. It's even smaller, huh?
Yeah, it's APS size.
So then you'd have to be like 2 millimeters for centimeters away.
Do that? I'd have to jury rig something to sit inside the lens throat.
Yeah. Well, what you could do, you could take your body cap and cut out a bigger square and somehow put a little a smaller box on the inside, you know, with the pinhole on it.
Inside of it, or cut a matchbox down, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Beading needles are what folks use, aren't they, for making pinholes? Needles.
I think I'm going to, after several years of just steadfastly using needles to make pinholes, I'm going to turn to a professional and buy some laser drilled shims and see if that's going to give me a more pleasing, a sharper, if sharp in pinholes, not irrelevant.
Well,
something a little less fuzzy.
Diane was using small little bits.
Yeah, she uses a small handheld drill bit that she gets from someone on the East Coast. But I got a copy of Chris Keeney's book, Pinhole Cameras Do-It-Yourself Guide, and he, in the beginning of that, he talks about using, I think, ultra-fine beading needles. And so these things that you use for threading beads.
Right.
And
yeah, I can see that being progressive. The trouble is I'm very cack-handed, and I'd end up just breaking them all.
Well, it says here, which needle should I use? It said... Well, he says two things. The thinnest and strongest materials produce the best pinholes. I suggest using 1 mil copper foil, which you can order online or buy the hobby store.
That copper is it's soft too.
Mm. He says aluminium foil will work, but you need to be careful when honing or sanding the thin foil after you've drilled the needle through it because it wrinkles. Or you can use something like a beer can, and then you get to drink the beer. But then I think if you use a rounded hammer, you can just flatten it, get it really thin before you do it, so you get a really thin area.
Oh,
and then
rounded.
He said,
which
needle should I use? So Chris says, most basic sewing kits include needles measuring from size 1 to 12, 1 being the largest and 12 being the smallest. The smaller the hole, the sharper the image.
Indeed.
Beading needles are even smaller. Extra fine beading needles measure 0.4 millimeter in diameter, so extra fine is probably what you need.
0.04?
No, 0.4 millimeter in diameter.
That's tiny, holy cow.
How do you know which needle to use for the camera you want to make? I recommend using an extra fine beading needle, but a small sewing needle from a standard kit will also work. I haven't finished dispensing my words of wisdom. not my words. Every camera you make will have an optimum pinhole diameter to match the focal length or F number of your camera. To figure out how big to make your pinhole, you first need to know the focal length of your camera. But then you can just go on those apps anyway, can't you? Extra fine beading needles anyway, I think. So
I'm going to nip up to my local sewing supplies shop and see what they've got in stock.
But I recommend it. Personally, and this one I bought for a few pound off a website. Chris Keeney, who's going to come on the show. Pinhole cameras, a do-it-yourself guide.
Does he drink beer?
Sorry?
Does he drink beer?
I should think so, yes, because there's some...
Well, we could drink a can of beer and make a pinhole on the spot whilst you're talking to him live.
He does the Matchbox cameras that I'm going to make. Oh, pinholger as well. He's got that in there. Make it so it's converting holders. So he shows, and then he's got a gallery of images at the back. It's a good book. And the other one I've got recently is Joe Babcock, who I think Diane was mentioning, and Joe is going to come on the show at some point. And he's got a book called The Invented Camera, Low-Tech Photography and Sculpture.
That sounds just my cup of tea, low-tech photography.
Yeah, and so there's quite a good introduction, and then he shows a variety of different cameras, including a pinhole camera made from a mailbox, one of those American mailboxes.
Oh, yes.
A pinhole camera made from a Band-Aid box. And then he shows the images you get from them, and so that's quite interesting.
I've not bought a photographic book for quite some time. I think I might have to go and investigate.
Well, in the UK, I nearly disconnected you then by leaning on my phone. I tell you, the good resource I use is Abbey Books. I don't know how you pronounce it. A-B-E, Alpha Bravo Echo Books, .co.uk. And this is a website that links all second-hand bookstores, not just in the UK, but around the world. And I think this Joe Babcock book cost me about $6 and about $3 to ship. It took about a month to come over, you know. But I find all my second-hand books. So this Joe Babcock, The Invented Camera book, I got off Abe Books. The Pinhole Camera Do-It-Yourself Guide came from there. And then I got the other one that... Neil Piper was talking about with Corey the other week.
Neil Piper?
Yeah, Eric the Eric Renner book, which is a bit like a textbook, but it's really informative. Pinhole photography, rediscovering a historic technique. That's the book that Neil was going on about.
And is that the one with the van on the front of it?
No, the one with the van on is the Joe Babcock book.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got the third edition of this Pinhole Photography, Rediscovering a Historic Technique. And this is probably the definitive guide to everything pinhole. I mean, it really is. I've only just started scratching the surface of this book, but it's really good. And if you listen back to the episode a few weeks ago when Neil was on with you, Curry, he was talking about pinhole photography, rediscovering an historic technique. I think it's on edition 4 now, and it covers digital pinhole photography as well. But it's printed by Focal Press, which is a good, fantastic printer for camera books,
right?
Photography books, and Eric Renner. So those three books I'd recommend, certainly the Eric Renner book, Pinhole Photography, The Invented Camera by Joe Babcock, and Chris Keeney's Pinhole Cameras, a do-it-yourself guide. And I bought all of them very reasonably off Abe Books, A-B-E Books. And,
when I listen back to this, when it's broadcast, I'll write that down so I can go and check them out.
Yeah, Corey will put the link on the show notes, I'm sure. But we've reached out to all these authors, so we're building up.
Hopefully
the guest
we'll
list,
get them on.
And we'll get them on the show because they all know far more about this stuff than I do anyway. Maybe not as much as Curry, but certainly me.
Maybe more.
So how are you getting on with that Agi Pinfold conversion camera, is it?
It's going very nicely. I've got to say, the setback with a black and white film has deterred me from doing any more home processing in the near future, waiting until the nights get darker. But I did shoot a couple of rolls of Velvia.
Mm-hmm.
14 years out of date Velvia in it, and sent it off to AG Photographic.
Yep.
And apart from a bit of a magenta colour shift when they came back, I was very chuffed that they pretty much all seem to have come out.
And they were exposed right, so you definitely think it was you and your darkroom, huh?
Yeah, there's no...
The black and white.
The Velvia.
Yeah.
So with your Agi Fold camera, you presumably... I think I either remember you saying or talking about online, you whacked out the glass lens, presumably, somehow?
Well, the camera came with a three-element lens.
Mm-hmm. Three?
The front element, which is what you'd use to twist to focus, was missing.
Mm.
The back element, I managed to unscrew with a pair of pliers, and the middle element... I couldn't budge it, so I used a hammer and a screwdriver.
And gave it a good whack.
Yep.
So the shutters, the shutter mechanism's still there, so you can just use that on B or whatever. Is that what you do?
Well, I use it on B, but if I needed to do like a tenth or a fifth of a second, I could still sound.
Cool.
I've got a couple of folders. I've got a couple of folders sitting on my shelf. One with... ready-made pinholes in the bellows, which I can just patch up, which I think is a little Agfa folder, and I keep looking at that to convert. Then I've got a folding Kodak camera as well, which is a sort of 6x9 one, and I keep looking at that as well.
So I think I fancy a 6x9 folder to make into a pinhole, but
yeah, well, I've got one, so and it's a nice camera, really. I'm a bit loath to try and hack it, but.
Well, the one I bought, the 6x9 that I bought, a Voigtlander Besser, there was nothing wrong with it.
Mm.
So I was at a camera fair with Kitty, and she just basically threw herself between me and the camera and said, there's no way you're smashing that lens. So I just had to stick to the 6x6, which has worked a treat.
Yeah.
I did stick a roll of expired Velvia through the Voigtlander as well. I did that for the Sony 16 Cheap Shots Challenge.
Think you're going to win?
Well, the winner would have been revealed on yesterday's show, but unfortunately, I've not had a chance to listen yet.
I haven't listened to it either.
Don't have much confidence.
No, I'm a bit behind in all podcast listening at the moment. I was catching up a little bit on the way home today with negative positives, and I listened to. I think I'm a few episodes behind with Sunny 16.
I'm up to date up until yesterday's new episode. That's the one I'm missing so far.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to the homemade camera podcast today, the one on focusing.
Yeah, I've just started. I've got all those downloaded, and I've just started to work my way through those.
Found them.
They're good.
It required me to get on and do a bit more building, I've got to say.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Well...
We've got some good guests lined up. Not that Toby's not a good guest. You want to talk a little bit about some of the people we've got coming up? Because we need to whet people's appetites. Next week could be interesting.
No, next week is going to be interesting. I'm excited.
We're not sure what we're letting ourselves in for.
Go on.
Who is it?
Justin. Justin Cornell's coming next week.
Excellent. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
The emails I've exchanged with him have been a bit surreal, I think. Yes. And then he attaches a picture of his teeth.
holding the camera
in the bathtub.
Just hold it on your tongue until it dissolves.
And then it'll develop through your track, and when it comes out, there you go, you got to find your negative.
I might have to go back and listen to that early episode on the Sunny 16 when he was on there.
The King Pinhole episode.
Kingpin, oh yeah.
Highly entertaining. Talking of swallowing film, I did see a little while ago an article on a website about a couple of young chaps who were swallowing film and letting their bodily juices develop it, and when it came out the other end, they were then using.
Come on. Really?
Yes.
No, I don't believe you. Really?
Yeah, I can't remember who they were or what website I read it on, but it was definitely something they were doing. I'm not sure I fancy swallowing film myself.
So wait. They're swallowing the film. Are they swallowing it in the dark?
Yeah, taking photographs. In the dark, they were swallowing it. And
well, one
body...
frame at a time, or like a whole 35
yeah.
exposure roll.
I guess that would work for your future brown stains project. <Don't> be...
I'm going to stick with purple in the future. Beetroot is definitely the way.
Hey, man, I mean, everybody's going to try stuff that they want to try, you know? Andrew, if you're going to be eating all that curry, maybe you should get
a try. Imagine curry stained. Imagine it looks like a nice biryani. You can save the film.
They must be having to take a dump in the dark.
Yeah.
Fish it out and put it in the fixer. Unless it's a monobath process that goes on in your guts.
Yikes.
Cine still.
Ooh.
Yeah, maybe we're onto something here. We could market it.
I don't know.
They not describe how they fix this film or so you pass it in the dark. You must have to pass it in the dark, otherwise it's gonna fog, isn't it?
Well, if you Google it, you find it. Definitely out there on the internet.
No, I think you're just having us on, Toby.
Google it and see.
I will.
I did have an interaction with James Guerin by email. Did I tell you that already?
No.
Don't know. Did you?
Nope, you didn't.
Soon, I emailed him just to see if, as I said, the D90 images have been a very...
Oh, yeah, you said about the pin, about your pinholes.
That's right. Yeah. Well, he recommends a 0.2. I've said this already, haven't I? I'm just repeating myself now.
No, you said 0.3 last time, but... Okay.
Two or three.
Hobgoblin's kicking in.
Something's kicking in.
Oh. So have you bought your pinholes for me? Because the ones he sells now, I think, come with a flexible...
Yeah, they're
on a flexible backing.
They do. That's pretty cool.
The ones I have, which were given to me by Stigger the Dump when I saw him, they're mounted on quite a on a solid sort of copper.
Bit of copper, yeah.
Round thing, yeah.
I'm going to pull the trigger on those two later on this evening once this is recording is done and dusted.
I'm just staring up at my.
I'm keen to. Make one of those anamorphic. As soon as the boys get back into school, I have a couple tens that I'm gonna.
Me too.
I'm gonna throw one together and give it a try. I have a can almost exactly like the one Diane used. That's like the tall and it's maybe 3 or 4 inches in diameter, like a biscuit tin or like a.
Mine's gonna be a Nescafe Azura.
That's the same can. That's the same style I have. The same style. These quite like tall. Chocolate fudge finger things are in it. I don't know what they were. Some kind of Italian treat or something, but
finger fudge.
Yeah, and it has like that flaky outside, and the inside is like fudge or something. I don't know, but same tin. So
nice, sort of a round, long tube of a tin.
I've been looking at those. I can't afford to spend any more money on anything at the moment for a few months, but I've been looking at those Vermeer anamorphic cameras. I mean, the Vermeer cameras look nice anyway, but I'm particularly tempted by his Vermeer. There was he had one on his SD site. I think it was a 6x17 anamorphic.
Yeah, I saw that too.
There's a couple on there. Quite reasonably priced, really, considering how much work goes into them, I thought.
Isn't he in Poland or somewhere? Where's he at?
He is, yeah. And the different. If I buy stuff from him, I'm not going to get stung by this bloody import tax like I do when I buy stuff off Todd.
No. Well, next week we got Justin coming. So
we have.
Fun.
Yes, and so you folk out there, you folks,
wonderful
if
folk.
If you have. If you're not familiar with Justin, he's very one of the guys behind World Pinhole Photography Day, but he's very much pinhole obsessed.
So I think what about I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to be wrong. And I know if I'm wrong, correct me. But it seems like to me he was one of the first people that I saw that started doing really kind of kicked off the solography thing with the cans.
Could be. I think anything homemade. I think he's very much into homemade pinholes. He's very much into
he's kind of just
do it and see what happens.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of started that whole solography in the can, you know, with the paper and just put it up for 6 months. He didn't invent it, of course, not, but he was the first person that I remember really seeing talk about it, you know, and like then it kind of just led up to there being solography kits on Kickstarter, you know what I mean?
I think this weekend he's doing some kind of, I think he does lots of educational type things and fairs, and so he's doing some kind of obscure.
Yeah.
There or something this weekend.
He's got the curious, hasn't he? Which are big round helmets you put on your face, and then you see the world upside down, and they're decorated like eyeballs.
He's a nut.
Yeah.
He even organises football matches between two teams of people wearing camera eye obscurers.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what he's up to this weekend. I need to, because he mentioned it to me on an email recently.
I feel like I need to come to the UK and meet Justin.
Oh, I'd love to meet him. Apparently he's an aging punk rocker as well, which is only in his favour.
Really? That's cool. All right.
I think I've got to spend the weekend researching him properly.
Yeah. All right. Well, Toby, we're gonna go, but...
Thank you, Toby, for coming on. I was reaching out to Toby last week just in case you managed to find a Wi-Fi signal and we couldn't get Stephen hooked up. But it was good to catch up again, Toby, to see where you're going with...
Second time?
Yeah. And
you're going to be our resident tester, so we're going to be waiting to see what happens with the digital pinhole thing. If you get the pinhole closer to the
definitely system. Going to be going back to James and pulling the trigger on a couple of his smaller pinholes, and
right.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes with the digital pinhole work.
Awesome.
And the ceramic stuff, you just got to wait for darker times, I think, haven't you?
Yes, because even if I have a dark bag, which means I can load in daylight, I don't have the darkness needed to run a Gorilla Darkroom in my galley. So it's just all one pause at the moment.
I thought it was always dark in where you guys are at.
Dark.
Well, that's just sunshine. Never mind. I'm sorry.
We've had a wonderful summer. It's a bit more mild now. It's not. It's like low to mid 20s now. But yeah. it's been.
We've had like 5 years worth of summer in the last month.
We have.
You guys are lucky. At least you kind of have a little bit of transitions in between each season. Here where I'm at, it's either summer or winter.
Oh, but autumn's so nice.
We don't even have autumn. I'm serious. I'm not joking. The leaves on the trees change up in the mountains on the other end of the state. You know, it's probably 6 or 7 hours away. And our leaves here at the coast literally change in days. Like the tree will be green and you walk outside a couple of days later and it's yellow dropping. Like it doesn't even, we don't even have autumn. It's like we go straight into winter.
In a week then.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's like the weather's going to break. You're normally around the end of, I don't know, it's October. Last year at Christmas, it was like 70 degrees here.
You need to move, man.
And then January the 1st, we had a cold snap, and it was like 15 degrees outside for like weeks.
You want to get yourself over to Seattle, where all those, you know, over where Zeb Andrews is and all those other fantastically creative, and Todd is, and over that sort of way, you know?
Well, Svalbard, that's a good place to go.
Where's that, mate?
Svalbard. It's a group of islands north of Norway.
Get yourself over there.
Several weeks at a time. But then in the summer, they don't have any dark for several weeks at a time either.
Yeah. That's how it was when I was in Alaska, when I lived in Alaska. But that's another story. Okay. Well, Toby, let everybody know where we can, where they can find you at and check out your blog and see what you're doing.
My website is vandeveld.co.uk. And my social media presences are Instagram, Twitter, and Flickr, Toby V Photo. You can find my website through my profiles on those platforms.
Yep.
So,
cool.
The last lot of stuff I uploaded onto Instagram was the D90 digital infrared pinhole work. So, if anybody listening feels curious, you can go and have a look at my most recent posts there.
Cool.
And Andrew? the guy who modified your digital camera, is he? If other folks have a crappy old digital camera, yeah, they want to modify.
Yes, he is. He goes by the name on Flickr of Marbo UK, MARBO UK.
Okay.
And his Flickr account is full of examples of the different infrared conversions that he does.
Oh, there you go. Cool. That's interesting. Some
curious. Yeah.
Some folk may find that useful.
Yep, absolutely.
And if you find him, then you can contact me through one of my social media platforms and I can
point you in the right direction. Yeah, well done.
Awesome.
Okay, well, you can find me at WarboySnapper, WarboySnapper _ pinholes on Instagram, and just kind of WarboySnapper now and again on WordPress, andrewbartram.wordpress, I think it is.
Cool.
But, you know, Flickr. And Twitter. So mostly it'll be me on Twitter if you interact with us.
Not mostly, all of it will be you.
Yeah, okay. At the Lensless on Twitter and the Facebook group, which is now up to about 216 folk.
Wow.
If you're not a member of the Facebook group and you ask to join, please answer the little question just to tell us a little bit about your love or interest in pinhole photography. Because that's, we just ask that you answer that little question and that's really helpful to us.
Yep.
But the Facebook group is pretty interactive and it's quite nice. And
yeah, it's a nice place.
People are real friendly.
Yeah. And you can find me on Instagram at Pinhole Cannon. And I am watching the show's Instagram page at the Lenses Podcast. And
we had some emails. We had some emails, but we maybe have to hold those over now till another show.
Yep. And I have a.
Oh, I emailed you, Corey, a little while ago.
Yeah.
We read it out. Didn't we read it out?
I think so. I got to go back and look.
Or did we just ignore you?
I got a message from Steven. Steven did a call in, so I'm going to put that in on this show.
I thought you had a couple of call-ins.
No, we had one from Todd, and I put that in the week before show we did, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll put Steven's call in on this one because he was supposed to be in the show
last
week.
Yeah, so if folks out there want to do a call-in, you can do it via the Anchor feature. You have to put the Anchor app on your phone, but you can just download it and then take it off again if you wish. But it does give you this feature to call into the Lensless podcast, and you get a minute to give us some abuse or give Corey some abuse
or Andrew
be nice to me.
Put your phone on and play a little song on the guitar.
Yeah, there you can.
You could do for a minute, or you can
please that
you
song
can,
that's 1919.
No, we've gone past that. No, we're on episode 22. Or you can send us an email, can't you? At the what is it? I've forgotten.
Podcast, the Lenses Podcast at Yahoo.com.
Yeah, there we go.
So have a great weekend, and we'll see everybody next week with Justin Quinnell.
With the scary Justin Quinnell. Thanks, Toby. Thanks.
Have a good weekend, Toby. Yeah. Talk to you guys later.
And I'll see you on the internet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Night.